Hello and welcome to Real Estate Edge. This is David Grossman, mortgage broker and host of the show. Glad to be with you here today on Blog Talk Radio. I have with me my co-host today is Randy McDonald from Heresy Email Marketing. He's co-hosting and he's a big marketer of real estate services. He's been working in the industry for many years, knows a lot about real estate investing, and been dealing with a lot of developers, mainly in the Canada area with me. But today we have some new information for you. Welcome, Randy. It's good to have you with us.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. Interesting conversation we have ahead here.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I mean, you know, we've both been working in the real estate industry with developers and others who are promoting a wide variety of projects. You know, we've been hearing about U.S. real estate investing for a long time. And so Randy and I decided it was time to go out and see what this was all about. So we have connected with a gentleman by the name of Lior Cohen from Turnkey Real Estate Investments, and this is his area and his niche. Randy, before we bring on Lior, tell us, I mean, what are your thoughts about this whole thing? You know, do you see a lot of Canadians looking to the U.S. to do real estate investing?
Well, you know, I think what it is that people, it's a big question mark for a lot of people, the U.S. You know, people are often comfortable first, at least, you know, new investors investing local to them. But does it always make sense to do that from just a purely ROI perspective? I think that there's, you know, a lot of people are kind of, it's a question mark. People are, you know, the big questions I think people have on their minds about the U.S. is, you know, what has happened with the states? We know that there was a massive downturn due to the subprime mortgage crisis. And where are we at now? A lot of people, they try to look at, think, well, when is the market going to bottom out? You know, they're afraid of buying at the market before it bottoms out because they don't want to buy a property and then have it decrease in value for years and then be struggling. You know, so ideally people want to figure out, you know, around the time when is the pricing at the bottom of a given market and then when will it come back and so forth. And I think people need to, you know, people want to know, you know, like give you an example. Someone like my parents who recently, you know, a couple years back sold their house in Toronto, they're interested in the States. They actually travel there in the winter. You know, and I think that there's literally, you know, tens of thousands of people that do that. So there's, you know, there's different markets. So I think that's the big question is like, what is happening in the U.S.? What, you know, was the subprime crisis restricted to just certain states or, you know, what's what? Like, where has it been and where is it now?
Okay, so those are all good questions, good points, and expert Lior Cohen from Turnkey Real Estate Investments is going to answer all those questions and more. I want to just start off with a quote that I saw over the weekend, which I thought was very applicable. 90% of all millionaires become so through owning real estate. This is by Scottish businessman and philanthropist Andrew Carnegie. More money has been made in real estate than all industrial developments combined. The wise young man or wage earner of today invests his money in real estate. So without further ado, I want to introduce Lior Cohen from Turnkey Real Estate Investments. Lior's background is in technology and sales and marketing and business development, and he migrated into real estate. We're going to find out why in our conversation with Lior in just a moment. Lior was also recently featured in the Canadian Real Estate Wealth magazine, sharing his experience and perspective on Houston, Texas, one of the best cities to invest in the U.S. So, Lior, are you with us? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us. Lior, so give us some background. I mean, it seems like a long journey to come from high-tech industry to move into real estate. Tell us how it all happened and why real estate?
Well, let me give you some background, you know, and why I end up where I am today in real estate, and why I believe this is probably one of the best industries or one of the best vehicles for creating long-term wealth and financial freedom. As you mentioned, I came from the tech industry. I grew up in Israel, worked in a few startup companies and technology companies. I was making good money, but at the end of the day, you know, you have to pay the taxman, a lot of expenses. You actually trade your time for money. And so you look at the bottom line, what is left at the end of the day? And how are you going to build long-term wealth by just working every day, 8 to 10 hours, sometimes stay over the weekend, sometimes night? So it's really very difficult to reach those goals. So when I came to Canada, I was doing a little bit of sales, marketing, working in a few companies, and I was looking actually for a better way, a better vehicle to how can I reach financial freedom and achieve my goals. And this is where I started researching back in 2012, researching the U.S. market and reading a lot of articles, meeting people, talking to people, and came to a conclusion that this is a good market to be in.
Okay, so you're the company you're working with. You're one of the founders of a turnkey real estate investments. I know your partner is Arnie Porter. He's based in the U.S. You, of course, are based out of Canada. And I know you're dealing with both Canadians and Americans. Tell us about Arnie, first of all. How did you hook up with him, and what is his expertise?
Okay, so I'm one of the founders. I'm a co-owner of Turnkey Real Estate Investment Group. And as I've mentioned, I've started researching the market back in 2012, took a few trips, and actually Arizona was one of the markets that was really hit badly as a result of the subprime mortgages. There were four markets. It was Las Vegas, California, Arizona, and Florida. And I came across Arnie from Arizona for Canadian. We started talking. He was presenting me with a very reliable information, start researching the market, looking at properties, looking at the macro reports, look at different options, look at the cap rate, and what are going to be the returns on my investment. And I ended up actually flying down there and actually put an offer on a property and actually started the whole process. Arnie was really a professional, a lot of good information, actually walks me through a process that maybe for a Canadian or somebody is looking to get into the real estate game, it looks like a very big black box that you don't know what to do next. But it's all about the people that you meet and access to good information that will help you make a really educational and informative decision to meet your goals. And we had a good chemistry. We started working. I have known Arnie now for more than 2 years, and actually in the recent year, we actually decided to join forces. We have the same vision as far as our goal. Arnie has been in the real estate world for more than 10 years, and I have my sales and marketing background, so I thought this would be a good combination between the two of us to really help Canadians and other international investors really find sound and solid investment opportunities.
Lior, what is it that made you interested and want to invest in the U.S. versus in Canada, Canadian real estate?
Oh, that's a great question, Randy. I look at the fundamentals and where we are in the market. And you mentioned in the beginning of the conversation where the market is, because real estate is all about timing. You want to know where the market is and which market is the best to get in right now. If you go back to the subprime mortgage crises, not all the states were hit bad. I mean, people who were doing the research and actually look at the numbers could predict this is could happen in those states. And there were some thought leaders that actually point out to that direction. And if I look at the Canadian market and see, I mean, I look at the, I bought my house in 2008 in Canada, and actually it's almost double in price today. So when I bought the house, it was $400,000. Today it's close to $1 million. Today, market value. So I look at the appreciation rate, and we all know that economy works in cycles. And there's no such thing that price can go up forever. And I feel today Canada is really in a peak point, that some point it's going to be a correction, because affordability is really low, meaning the average income compared to the median home in the GTA is close to $500,000, $600,000. So that makes it very difficult for a prospective investor to put his money in Toronto, because he will have to deploy a lot of capital for the initial investment, and the returns, or what we call the cap rate, is actually the projected rate of return, is going to be very low. Very low. We're talking about 3-4% cap rate in Canada, and sometimes zero or negative cash on condos. So I don't think these are really good starting points for an investor looking at Canada. So that's why you look at the U.S. market, which is a bigger market, offer much more opportunities to choose from. Prices are way, way lower. You can actually own a single family home today in Cleveland, Ohio, as low as $50,000. This is a fully renovated home that for a family to live in and have a decent quality of life. I mean, in $50,000 in Toronto, you cannot even buy a parking lot. So
that's for sure. Lior, you've talked about, you know, a few different states. I mean, you mentioned Vegas, you've mentioned Arizona, Ohio, and I know you had written an article recently in Canadian Real Estate Wealth magazine about Houston, Texas. How do people know where to invest? Where's the best place?
Well, it all boils down to, I always say, people, you know, the best education is actually self-education. It's all about the data and research, you know. The problem is people don't want to take the time to really think and then research. You got to talk to the right people. You got to just. The good thing about the U.S. market, it offers a wealth of information and data sources, but all those things take time. So that's why if somebody decides to work with me on Arnie in Turnkey Real Estate Investment Group, that's why we take the time to actually, we're connected to the market 24/7. We're talking to other suppliers. We're talking to different data providers, and we know where the market is at any given time. So you look at different factors, right? If you look at the macro level, let's look about population growth. Let's look about net migration. Let's look where people want to move. You know, people want to move where there's jobs, where there's an economy, and that creates demand for housing and for rental. The other point that a lot of people since the crisis in 2005, they don't want to necessarily commit to a mortgage. So a lot of people actually prefer to rent a home. Even if they have the capital, they actually prefer to rent a place. So that's what creates a very strong rental market. Plus, a lot of people, since the crisis, don't have the credit yet. Maybe right now, after 7 years of recovery, they're going to have start going back to the market and thinking about committing to a mortgage again. So really, it boils down to really data research and look at where there is major development, where the people are moving in. So, and that's what makes the prices move up. So you look at places that are actually in a growth mode, and this is where the opportunity is. So you look at all those data plus the average median home prices. You look at average rental price. Yeah.
Lior, you were mentioning earlier about how with the Canadian market, and I think especially with the Toronto condo market, that, you know, people are sort of looking at a correction, that, you know, a lot of people think that the Toronto condo market is overbuilt. Some of these other cities, we know that Vancouver is very overheated. And, you know, there's always a question of, will there be a market correction in Canada and these different markets, and how much? Whereas in the States, the market correction has already happened and happened in a big way. So it's sort of like the storm has already hit and is already settled, and it's been one of the biggest market corrections probably in the last 50 years. I mean, comparable to what happened in the 80s. So I think the advantage with the U.S. is that we know that the market correction has already happened. It's not just looming, and we can take advantage of that, versus with Canada, it's just looming and it may or may not happen.
Yes, I agree with you. Well, the best way to summarize, I mean, I would refer people to an ebook I wrote. It actually can be downloaded from my website, turnkeyrealestateinvestment.ca. And this is where I actually explain and compare what is the difference as far as the behavior of price over time between the U.S. and the Canadian market. So I think right now in Canada, we're actually in the peak level, what we call optimism, and people are very excited, interest rates are low, it's very easy to buy a home, and just people, I think they're kind of in euphoria. Well, in the U.S., actually, we went from optimism to euphoria and then anxiety and denial in 2005, 6, 8, and then it went to denial and fear. And actually, today, we after the deception, now we're in the hope and relief period. I think so in the U.S., I know there are different markets, but generally speaking, I think we're actually at starting to get off the deception cycle, and that's what the opportunity is. Obviously, you got to do your homework and decide which market will give you the best return and the best potential appreciation over years. But I think this is a great opportunity, much, much more attractive and better than the Canadian market.
Lior, one of the things that people must be thinking about when they hear about these kinds of opportunities, depending on where they live, whether they're, you know, in somewhere in the U.S. or in Canada, is if they're talking about investing in a state that's, you know, not in their immediate area, what are some of the issues and how do you deal with them? I mean, when you purchase a property and maintain a property over the long term, you need support from, you know, you need a legal team, you need a real estate agent, property management, and so on. How do people deal with this?
Well, that's an excellent point, David. I mean, investing, again, it sounds lucrative, sounds exciting, but, you know, it's not that simple. You got to know what you're doing. You got to do a lot of research, but very important as is also is talking to the right people and get the right advice. And this is where we can come in and help Canadian or other international investors to actually make the right decision. So you got to make sure you're working with the qualified developers, people actually buy those homes from banks, rehab them, fix them, they do a decent job, they have track record of success of placing tenants, and when there are issues, they know how to take care of them. Or there's a property management, professional property management on site that will take care of any issues, will collect the rent. If there's any eviction needs to be happened, it can do it, right? So I think that's the key. The whole concept of a turnkey real estate investment is having the right service provider in each city that will cause you to make a very smooth and easy transaction. You can actually benefit from positive cash flow every month. So really it's going to be a hands-off investment and not become a nightmare where if you're making those mistakes.
So is that part of what your company does then? You have the contacts in the different cities to help people with this? I mean, they don't just buy a property with you and good luck?
No, exactly. That's the value proposition. That's the value of the service me and Arnie provide. We actually already taken the time, did all the legwork. We actually flown down to cities like Atlanta, like Kansas City, like Houston, like Cleveland. We met with those folks. We qualify them. We look at the work, look at the houses they provide, talk to the references, talk to the property management companies, understand the processes. All this work we're doing because we're also investing ourselves. So we just, you know, we walk the walk and talk the talk. Basically, we're investing. We're also a real estate investor ourselves. So just we lead by example and show people this is really doable. You know, for any argument, anybody can say, giving supporting or non-supporting argument. But I think we have a really strong argument that proves this model is working. And by the way, just on the Canadian Real Estate Wealth Magazine, just an article came out or an announcement that Canadians still the number one real estate investor in the U.S. And actually, you can see that on our website as well. So Canadians really see the benefit and the value in the U.S. market. But look, you can't avoid mistake. But if you talk to the right people, give the right advice, this is where it can actually be successful.
Now, what about the Canadian dollar? I mean, has that impacted how Canadians are viewing U.S. real estate? I think Canadians have lost quite a bit of leverage against the U.S. dollar in recent months.
Well, you know, the currency exchange market is something that really nobody can control. I see, unfortunate with the drop of oil prices and the decreasing loonie, Canadian wants to invest in the U.S. or buy U.S. you know, products or invest in property, that's going to affect them. So if you don't have currency in U.S., you will have to convert money and then take a hit of 20%. But I don't think that should be really a concern. I mean, it would maybe move you away from that. But you got to look at this as a wash, because by that time, you want to get out of the property and exit, the dollar may come back. So you might be, you know, breaking even or even. So it's really shouldn't be a really strong consideration. Always look at the alternative and what can you do with your money today in Canada, and what's the best return you can achieve in other markets.
Okay, so Lira, let's say I'm a U.S. Let's say I'm a Canadian investor, and I want to get involved in investing in U.S. properties, you know, and working with a company like yours. Give us a sense of the type of entry and also exit strategies that investor, you know, in terms of what are they investing their money in, where is it being invested, what is the strategy, how long are they got their money there, when are they getting out, so forth. Give us just an overall sense of the story from beginning to end.
Well, it really depends how much budget do you have for investing. So let's say you have, you know, $100,000 or $200,000. Then I would like to find out from you, what are your goals? Are you looking for long-term appreciation? Are you looking for more stable markets? Is your goal getting a better cash flow? So every investor is different, but we have solutions for every aspect, every angle of the requirements per investor. So, for example, if you're looking for a more stable market and less risk, then I would go look for Texas. I mean, Texas has been appreciating dramatically in the recent years. A lot of hedge funds went there, a lot of big players. So, you know, prices have gone up. And actually today, property are selling at lease price or up. But you're getting a nice return, 7, 8, 9% cap rate, solid tenant, low vacancies. You know, you can buy nice homes, and it really depends. These are the expectations. Where if you're looking, if your budget is a little bit low, and prices range are around $100,000, $150,000, $200,000. If you have a lower budget but you want a better cash flow, let's say you're targeting for 12%, 13%, 15%, this is also achievable. You can go to the East Coast and go for places like Ohio, like Kansas City, that you can actually buy single-family homes, so as low as $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and get excellent cash flow based on cap rate of 12%, 13%, 15% cap rate. So it really depends on your, as far as the exit strategy, I would stick with the property for at least 3, 4, 5 years and watch the market. Obviously, we would advise as we see changing trend, I would advise somebody maybe it's a good time to sell. So it's really if you really need the money at this point, you want to allocate the money to something else. And I think you can actually do, while depends if you're using financing or not, you can actually refinance the property and actually use leverage and buy more properties. So it really depends on everybody's needs and overall strategy.
Lior, you mentioned financing. Tell us a bit about the financing situation. I mean, as you know, I'm a mortgage broker. I don't have any experience arranging mortgages, well, very little anyway, in the U.S. What's the situation like down there when people are buying a property? Can they get some financing, and what kind of rates are we looking at?
Well, that's a great point, David. See, a lot of Canadians think, or they have some misconceptions, that there's no financing for Canadians in the U.S. market. Well, that's not true. I mean, I work with partners. They offer really great solutions. So that's why another value we bring. As I said, our company is turnkey real estate investment. So we take care of everything from acquisition, purchase, referring to legal advice, cross-border accountant, and financing, which is a big, big portion of the acquisition process for investment property. So, for example, I can offer an investor to go to actually a traditional bank like RBC or BMO. We have the contact. This is a regular mortgage application, and they want to see your income tax return and your documentation. Maybe you will have to fill up more paperwork, but eventually they will finance you a home. And rate could be as low as 3-4%. That's really the basic solution. Then there's more advanced solution if you want to buy a portfolio, multiple properties. We work with mortgage brokers and commercial lenders. So the solutions are really out there, and you just have to, again, talk to the right people and get the right advice.
Leor, right. For people that are interested in U.S. properties, from here, what do you recommend as next steps in terms of, you know, their research and some of their due diligence of who to work with and so forth?
Well, I would say, look, there are many players out there. Do your research, talk to people who feel are credible, are reliable, are professional. If you check our website, turnkeyrealestateinvestment.ca, we have taken really a lot of time to prepare a lot of information, which is free. I mean, we believe in free education to investors. So every city that you go on my website, there is videos, there is research information, there's demographics, statistics. So if somebody's really serious about U.S. investing, our website can give you a really good indication and a good starting point, at least where to invest and what to expect for this specific market. So that will be my starting point. After that, you have to boil down to the strategy. So first of all, am I ready to invest? How much money do I have allocated? How much fund do I have allocated for investing? And that's what's important to me. Do I want to have cash flow, or do I want to have, accept a lower cap rate and buy a more expensive property in a better area? So it's really boiled down to the individual investor. And this is where we can come into the table. We'll talk to the investor. We walk through the process, understand his needs. We would fly down on his behalf if this is required, and provide him all the required documentation report to doing proper due diligence. That's kind of what it all boils down to. That's the key.
You know, Lior, we've talked about the big picture here and what's the overall objective for people, and I know one of the reasons you got into real estate because of your staunch belief that, you know, if you want to pursue financial freedom, based on that quote from Andrew Carnegie, 90% of the people who've done so have achieved it through owning real estate. I mean, what's the end game here? For people, is it early retirement, travel? I mean, where do you see this going, and how long does it take for somebody following this kind of investment strategy to achieve those goals?
Well, That's a great point, David. And again, I'm very passionate and believe in what I do. And really, this is everybody with the right mind should be thinking about his financial future and really take proactive action toward achieving that. Whether you do invest in stock, whether you invest in a business, you have to do something. Because, you know, the unfortunate situation is, you know, just to give you an idea, the U.S. Social Security Administration security has done a study. And look at, for every 100 people that reach the age of 65, how are they doing? Well, the results that they are not very encouraging. It turns out that 38 people are dead before reaching 65. 60-plus have some health issues that have need some public assistance from the government or rely on their pension plan to survive. Of the remainder, only 4 people are financially secure, and only 1 person is wealthy. So the question, what do you want to do? Does it make sense to do what the, you know, 5% people are doing or follow the rest of the 95%? So it really, if you really want to live life to the fullest and enjoy life, as you said, vacation, early retirement, spend more of your time with your family and your loved ones, you really got to take some action because nobody's going to do this for you, not your employer. You have to take action and really take this seriously. This is a serious business. So when I say financial freedom, you want to win the money game. So if you're asking what is financial freedom, it's not necessarily that you have to have in a bank $1 million. To me, if you have enough hands-off, passive or residual income to actually cover your expenses, your monthly expenses, but you don't need to work, you know, you need to go out and work and make that income, only if you can choose to do so, that's the already ahead of the game. And you don't really need that much money. Look, do you know that maybe 2% of the people in Canada or U.S. only making, you know, over 100K a year? So you got to see how much money do I need to earn from those properties. So look, you have to build basically a replacement income. So you have to think how many properties do I need to buy to make the income that I will need to support me, pay my bills, and have some you know, extra disposable income. That's all about. So let's say one property would generate you, let's say, I don't know, $5,000 a month or a year. So multiply that by, you know, 10 properties, and here you have a $50,000 income. So that's just to give you an idea. These are like rough numbers. How many properties would I need to accumulate over time? Obviously, there are so many strategies. You can use, you know, buy and hold. You can use fix and flip. This is something we also offer to people if they want to co-invest with us. This is actually you are increasing the velocity of money, and actually you can reach early retirement faster. So it's really you have to put a solid plan together to achieve those goals. But really, the benefit of real estate, you're going to benefit from as of passive residual cash flow, you're going to build equity, enjoy for long-term appreciation, and you're going to build your wealth. That's what it boils down to. You got to win the money game. That's the key.
Lior, one of the things I've seen in working with real estate agents is I think a lot of people look at the real estate agent and just say, well, you know, you just want to make a commission. You just want to sell me a property and pocket your commission, and you're not all that choosy with what you're offering. Tell us why you're different. Why that, you know, you mentioned that you're personally invested. Where are you buying? Where are you and your partner Arnie buying in the U.S. and what are you doing personally?
Well, right now I started off in Arizona and actually doing right now a couple of fix and flip projects there, which I mentioned earlier. This is like fix and flip. Basically, you're buying property at a distressed area from the bank. So let's say the, you know, market value of the property is $100,000. You're going to buy it for $40,000, renovate, rehab it for $20,000, and pocket the difference between, you know, what you purchase after repair value, which is going to be, let's say, $60,000. You're going to sell it for $100,000. So you just made $40,000 in a period of, let's say, 5-6 months, which is amazing. So that's one strategy I'm looking to deploy. in Arizona, in Cleveland, possibly in Atlanta, in Kansas City. I always tell people, you know, diversify your portfolio. So I'm in this market. I'm looking to purchase some in Cleveland, Ohio. Use a mix between, you know, fix and flip and buy and hold. See, the cash flow, right, the cash flow you're getting from the buy and hold property, this is the glue that's going to pay your bills. But the real wealth is built up by you know, appreciation. So whether when you sell a property or you're doing fix and flip, which actually gets your appreciation faster. So that's kind of where I am in the market. But all these markets that I recommend right now are really solid markets, have good data. And to your point again, I'm not a real estate agent. I'm an investor like the other people I'm working with, and I just help them to acquire properties. I do what I believe in. I love what I do, and this is basically it is, but I got to get paid for my work. Actually, we get paid only from the seller. So the price is being presented to the investor is the final price. I'm actually getting a fee for my services from the seller. So this doesn't affect the investor.
One of the things that, you know, we talk about, you know, early retirement and the end game. And, you know, one of the things that come to mind when I see some of the properties, Lior, that your company is advertising either on your website or in different places. I know you advertise in a variety of places. Especially when I look at some of these properties either in Texas or Arizona, some of them are brand new construction, under $150,000, lovely bungalows. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is I want to live there. I'd like to retire there. And, you know, at the beginning of the call, we were talking with Randy. Randy was mentioning his parents go down south. I don't know if they rent a place or own a place. My mom has a place in Florida.
They rent, actually.
But wouldn't it be awesome, I mean, to have a place like that, if you do hold it as a long-term investment, if you buy it early, and then, you know, later on in life, you have a place where you can go down and the family comes down, the kids and the grandkids for vacation. I mean, talk about quality of life.
Well, you kind of have
that
in Florida right now, don't you, David?
Sorry, Lior?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, look, you know, Texas is probably, it's the number one place in the U.S. today. They lead the country in job growth, in population growth. Everybody wants to move to Texas, to Houston, to Austin, to Dallas. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that, you know, if houses are affordable, you can buy a decent house for $150,000, you know. There's job demand. You know, taxes are low. You know, so it makes sense to people to actually buy that. So the plan you mentioned, you know, this is something called build to rent. This is something very unique that you don't see too often. Actually, the builder typically offers this to owner occupy because of the demand. But this is a niche opportunity where I purchased. Actually, you're buying a brand new home from the builder, and you're getting excellent rent. And I would refer to the article in the Crew magazine. So on a $150,000 property, you're getting 1%, $1,550,000 monthly rent. And you have no maintenance because the house is brand new. So how can you go wrong here? You're buying in a good community, in an appreciating market. So it's a win-win solution. So definitely, there are many benefits to investing in real estate, and actually having a place of your own that potentially you could use for vacation, that's a great benefit, absolutely.
Randy, yes, to your point, you're correct. Well, my mom does have a place in South Florida, and it's awesome because this past year I went there with my wife, and then my sister came down with her daughter, so it's a great opportunity when you do have a place like that to get the family together. Sometimes, you know, I live in the same city with my sister, and I rarely see her. But, you know, an opportunity like that, to be on vacation with your family, it's awesome. So it's a definite bonus, I think, of having a place. If you live in a either in Canada or one of the northern U.S. states where you're getting flooded with cold and snow, and it's just been an awful winter here, it's an amazing thing to have a place where you can go for the winter and spend a few months or even half a year. That is my objective, to be able to do that every year. So, and I'm sure some other people should set that as a goal too, because I don't see too many people enjoying these winters here.
Yeah, and here's the flip side of your situation is that my parents are kind of the opposite, where they've been going to Florida for the last few years between January and say March. And what they were finding is that when they were going down around 2000 and, you know, like, you know, 2008, that sort of thing, what they're finding is that they'd looked at the properties down there, and that was when the speculation was in full sort of tilt. I remember them telling me that they'd looked at one or two townhomes down there, and the real estate agent had told them that the property had changed hands through investors, you know, like, you know, 5-10 times without being occupied, and just simply the price had just been ratcheted up and up and up and up. And then, you know, now it's the complete opposite, where, you know, it's not the complete opposite, but what they're finding is that there was a lull in the market for a couple of years where it's easy to rent in Florida, and they would travel down there and they would rent a condo. But then after a while, they were finding that all of the rentals had been snapped up, that the market had, you know, started showing signs of recovery. And so, therefore, they were basically forced to stay in hotels. That the rents on these places had, recovered, and now they couldn't rent anything affordably. So they're kind of the opposite. You know, they're the example of the people that decided to wait too long and watch it, and then they just saw the opportunity pass them by. And now they're that's just their mindset.
Yeah, I mean, look. The vacation thing, when you buy investment property, you got to be very business-oriented and actually separate the emotion from the investment. So you really got to buy for the return, for the cash flow, for the potential. And from that money, you can actually either, you know, rent a place or when you sell it, buy a vacation, a home. What I find, a lot of Canadians or people are just, you know, they think about Florida, they think about the vacation home, and they kind of take off the head of the investor, which is wrong, because you really cannot attach yourself to the beach or to the people. This is a business. It's not a pleasure. You know, you have to make the right decision and really not be emotional about it.
Right, so it is a different buy when you're thinking vacation compared to investment. Lior, how much do you need to get in? If somebody's listening and thinking like, I'd like to buy an investment property. What's the minimum amount of money to get in, and then how much if you want to, let's say, build a good size portfolio, what would be the required investment? So what's the range?
Well, you can go start as low as $50,000 to cover all your closing costs, everything, to have one property under your belt. And this is what most people have. They have, you know, $50,000, $100,000. I mean, you can refinance your home in Canada and get equity, right? But I would say if you have about $200,000 or $300,000, you can actually leverage that money with our connection in the U.S. for financing, because financing become more loose in the recent year. There's more opportunities, more available options to investors. So based on a 35 or 65% loan-to-value, you can actually buy almost a portfolio of $1 million, right? So that could be a really nice start. So if you have a cash, so that's another thing. You can actually, if you have a group of people, you can actually group together and co-invest. That's something we also offer. We actually co-invest with other people and actually take advantage of the buying group opportunity. You get better price. You get equity from the get-go on your property, and you are able to get a good cash flow. So if you were to go on your own, this is where you bought one property. But if you buy as a group, you have more buying power and potentially more appreciation. And then maybe you can refinance the property. So there's a lot of benefits, a lot of ways you can actually be creative and not being stuck. Well, just a lot of people get stuck after the first property. Okay, now I'm stuck. I don't have any more funds available. But, you know, there's ways around it.
Okay, so tell us, Lior, how do people get a hold of you? And I think we should also make clear that, you know, even though we are Canadians and we've been talking about Canada as an investment alternative, you are also, you do deal with American investors as well. Arnie is based out of the U.S. So tell us, how do people get a hold of you if they want to inquire about purchasing an investment property?
Well, we work with Canadian, with American, with international investors. We have clients from Israel. You know, this is a global business, and you know, there are investors from over the walk of the world in the U.S. So I would say they go to our website, you know, www.turnkeyrealestateinvestment.ca. There is my email, Lior@turnkeyrealestateinvestment.ca, or they can call me at 416-768-5370. Be happy to schedule a meeting, answer any questions, and we'll keep on providing more, you know, free education, more value to the community, just to help out people. That's what we do.
Okay, we were also expecting to hear from one of your past customers.
Yes. Let me see if I can...
Pierre Pellet.
Yes, let me see if I can...
Okay, sure.
Get him on the line here. Just 1 second.
So, Randy, while you're doing that, I'll just have a word with Randy. So, Randy, when are we going down to the U.S. to check out some of these properties? Are you ready to go?
Anywhere south is good for me. Anywhere warm.
Yeah.
I was actually in San Antonio, Texas, right at this time last year. And it was so nice to be able to wear shorts once again. It was the first time I'd been to Texas, actually. But, you know, another little interesting quote about real estate is from Mark Twain. It's like, "Is buy real estate. They're not making it anymore."
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. It just keeps going up and up. And, well, I was in Florida, as I mentioned, for 2 weeks.
Nope.
And I'll tell you, it's so important
for
people to take
vacation. We've got our guest on the line here, David.
Oh, do we have Ophir Pellet? Ophir? I don't hear him. Is Lior still with us?
Yes. Here. I was just trying to...
Ophir to tell us about why he invested in U.S. real estate and what his experience like was with dealing with Lior from Turnkey.
I can try one more time. 1 second.
And Randy, as you know, I spent 2 months last year in California, and during the two coldest months. And I don't expect you to feel sorry for me, but man, it's been a rough winter here. This month here in February in Toronto, I don't think it's well. It's now March, but I don't think it went above freezing for the entire month.
Someone was telling me that February was the coldest February recorded for the Toronto area in history. Which I don't doubt. I think it was, and they say it was one of the first times ever that the temperature did not go above freezing, i.e. zero.
It was brutal. It was brutal. It's so important for people to get away and to see different things, you know, different parts of the world, just a change of scenery, you know. You can really get into a rut if people don't take breaks from what they're doing. You know, they're working so hard, trying to make money, and I think that sometimes you can get so caught up in it that, you know, you just don't even realize how important it is to get away. Mm-hmm. How are we doing there with bringing Ophir on the line? Are we having any luck? I guess Lior is trying to get him. So I've got to do Lior?
Yeah, it looks like he's on a call, but I will see if he calls me and I can conference him to our broadcast.
Well,
we were
I think just to sum up here is what I'm seeing is that, you know, people that are buying, you know, Toronto condos, they're really buying mostly on speculation. The real estate agents that I've seen are really just selling what the developers want them to sell. And people are just buying based on speculation because the cash flow is negligible or negative cash flow. In other words, they're losing money per month. And they're just hoping that the property appreciates in value and time. Whereas it sounds to me with the U.S., if you work with the right people that are actually doing it, involved, and you know, either buying through them or partnering with them, that you're buying more based on fundamentals and sound research.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, buying a condo is just actually parking your money and just hope for the best. I mean, you're not going to be benefit from cash flow. It's going to be an asset that, you know, over time, maybe you're going to make 3-4%. But really, to me, it's not a great way or the best vehicle for really creating wealth, because, you know, you got to add value or take advantage of a situation where you're actually cash flowing. And to me, that's the number one priority. When you invest in real estate, number one, make sure your property is cash flowing. Okay, sorry, guys. I think I'm getting a call. That's okay.
Hey, yeah.
Hello. מה זה מאחים? לא, אני מחכה לך.
And I think the cash flow thing is definitely something to be emphasized. I remember Kevin O'Leary from Dragon's Den saying that never buy a stock that doesn't have a dividend. And same idea with property. If you buy a stock that has a dividend, then at least you know you've got monthly money coming in versus, you know, if you don't and the value goes down, then you're sort of screwed. The same thing with real estate. As long as you have positive monthly cash flow with it, at least you know you're making some money now, regardless of where the market is at for the property in terms of long-term appreciation.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe people buy properties in Toronto that are like as an investment that are negative cash flow. I mean, what if the rates go up? It's going to become a huge drain.
Yeah, and I think that discourages a lot of people and gets them out of the market too. You know, I mean, if their property is you know, break even or negative cash flow, and you know they're not seeing much. It's kind of a bad situation, and you know I think people can actually wind up losing money once they factor in all of the costs involved in doing this in terms of the commission paid to the realtor, the closing costs. All the costs that people don't really see up front just sort of get laid on them later when they are thinking of either flipping the property, i.e. assigning it before closing, or doing that afterwards once the property is occupied and the mortgage clock is ticking. I think the real estate just don't really – they show – the real estate agents are great at showing the entry strategy, know, but the as far as the long-term and exit strategy – there's very little, if anything, shown to these investors. And so really, you know, it's really much rolling the dice, I see it, with Toronto condos. Unless you're buying it for yourself, which I see some people doing, where they're saying, you know, I talked to one client recently who, you know, he's buying a condo up at Yonge and Eglinton because he's downsizing. You know, he's an empty nester. and that's a different market. But if you're buying to an invest,
yeah, I think we. I think we actually have Ophir with us. Ophir, are you with us?
Ophir. Yes, Ophir. Good day.
Hello, Ophir.
Yes,
how are you today?
Good day. Very good, very well, sir, and yourself.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks very much for joining us. We wanted to ask you, we've got just a few minutes left here in the call. We wanted to ask you, because we understand that you have purchased the property in the U.S., so we're wondering if you could tell us why did you do that, and what was your experience like dealing with turnkey property investments?
Okay. I wanted to invest in the U.S. as another investment on top of the investments I have in my home country, which is Israel, mainly because the ROI, which is very positive, and that the country is very organized, that when you buy a property and you sign a contract, 99.9%, the things are done according to the contract. So, and it's a very stable economy. People let's not forget, it's the biggest economy in the world. So if you buy in a prime area, in a place where it's stable, and there is employment there, then I think it's a win-win.
Okay,
tell
so what did you buy, and how is it performing?
We bought a new house, a standalone house. I think it's called townhouse in the U.S. version, but let's call it a standalone, a single-tenant house, a new one. We bought it from the contractor. It's a great house. It was rented in the same day it was in the market, so it's rented from day one. People are paying on time, and I'm very, very happy.
Where's the property?
And what was your experience with Lior? Did Lior help you with this investment? And on ongoing basis, how do you manage this from overseas?
Okay, without Lior, I wouldn't have done it. The way I have an international business not related to real estate, and when I do something, I do with people that I trust. So Lior gave me a few opportunities in a few states and a few cities to start with background on every city, with economical issues, education issues, crime, and so on. Then we decided to focus on a single state, which was Texas, in the city of Houston. And when he started to focus, he gave me a few offers, a few analyses of the house. And I was pushing towards a single-tenant house because I think it's a great way to start a business in USA of real estate. And I think we did the right choice because the house was ready on time. It was rented in no time. People are paying. And Dior was doing all the way, including finding the guy for the rent. And I'm sure that if the guy will leave, I'm sure that he always help me if I have any need.
And did you do you have to travel frequently to go see the house, or do you rely on Lior and any other property managers to take care of things? And would you consider buying more properties?
So the answer is, although I was in Houston, Texas a year ago for my own business, at that time, I didn't buy the house. I was never then in Texas, so I was not actually visiting the house. Gio was doing it on behalf of myself. And then we took another company to check everything, which was positive. And I'm not planning even to see the house unless I be in the area just, you know, for the fun of it and for the curiosity. And yes, I'm planning this year to buy another property in the U.S. I'm still debating where, discussing it with Gio. Take, I guess, a few more months, but I guess we'll buy another property. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a great experience. Randy, we and Lior, we have just about less than a minute left. Final thoughts? Randy, you first.
Just do your research. Okay.
Randy. That's Lior. Go ahead, Lior.
Yeah, I said, you know, real estate investing is a great way to, you know, build your wealth. Cash flow, financial freedom, anything you can think of, just to win the money game. And just do your research. Do your research, research, and talk to the right people. That's my two cents.
Okay, Randy, 10 seconds. last word.
I concur with Lior. Due diligence. Don't buy based on emotion. Buy based on fundamentals and hard decision making. Right reason.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much. Ofer, thanks for being with us. Have a great day, everybody.
Sure.
Take care.
Thank you.
So thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.